Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network. Quarter number three, as we continue our depth chart discussion, it is Greg Pickle, Penn State football beat writer from Penn Live and the Patriot News. Ross the Boss, Russ Tucker, I'm Andy Shea. We did some offense in quarter number two. We got through a few of the positions. So let's finish up on the offensive side of the ball before we flip over and do the defensive side of the ball, which I think with them replacing eight starters will give us a lot more to talk about because there's a lot more unknown there than there is known on the offensive side of the ball. One of the stronger positions you might think in terms of experience would be the offensive line, right? They got five guys back there who all played last year. Ryan Bates, multi-year starter. Steven Gonzalez, Connor McGovern, multi-year starter. Chaz Wright came into his own last year as can play two positions. And Will Fries played last year.
Right.
Newcomer Michael Mennett played some spot snaps, I would call them. They were targeted. They weren't meaningful snaps. They were targeted to get him on the field. He looks like an option at right guard. There is your six first line guys. Am I correct in saying that is your six?
Yes.
Where they put them that's up for debate, as we always like to talk about.
Which, as we've talked about a lot,
yes,
is, in my opinion, part of the problem. What do we talk about when you're talking about what Greg said about Journey Brown and the different running back coaches, right? It's different because your coaches are telling you different things. You have to get used to your different techniques and skills between coaches. The same goes for playing different positions. So if you switch from one position to the next all the time, you never really can get that comfortable. I always joke, okay? I started at least five games at center and both guards. And I always joke that there are very few guys that have ever done that in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Because if you're really good or actually good, they just leave you at one spot and keep you there and say, this guy's our starting right guard or center left guard. I was good enough that I wouldn't lose the game, but they're always like, nah, we got to find somebody better than this. So my point is you want to get a guy in a spot and keep him there. They've done that with nobody other than Steven Gonzalez. They moved Bates. They moved McGovern. You know, they're moving guys all
Chaz
around.
Chaz Wright's played guard and tackle.
Yeah, that was maybe out of necessity.
That was out of necessity.
But for Bates and Mann and McGovern, they're I don't like it. I think it absolutely, in my mind, contributed to a step back for the offensive line last year. It bothers me. And here we are going into summer camp. We don't know if it'll be McGovern or Mennett at center. And the other one's at right guard. We don't know who the tackles will be. It appears like what we do know is that Bates is going to be a tackle. We weren't even sure that. But it appears Bates will be a tackle. And then we don't know Fries.
Yeah, where's Will Fries now?
What do
you
think?
That's the question. Bob Founders and I have discussed this frequently, that the Chaz Wright-Will Fries thing is just really, I think, confusing is the right word. I mean, you just assume that Fries was going to pass him and pass him without any problem or hesitation.
That's what it looked like the last four games of last year and in the bowl game.
Right, and it just hasn't happened for one reason or another. So is that because he's a little bit banged up, or is it just because he's not progressing and Wright is? And, you know, Ross, one thing I think that a lot of people want to know about, and Thursday show listeners have heard this, maybe not so much from you on these Monday and Wednesday shows, but Steven Gonzalez, I think, is polarizing to a lot of people. There's some people out there that evaluate offensive line play and say, you know, that people hate on him too much, that he's not really playing that bad. And then there's some others that says, yeah, why is he the only guy that hasn't been moved around? Where do you fall on that spectrum?
I think he is okay.
Okay.
He's not going to ever be like an all Big Ten guy.
Yeah.
He's a lot better than I thought he was going to be earlier in his career. I think he's a serviceable starter. And I think at this point, the last thing I want to do is move him out of there and move somebody else again.
Right.
You know? Which leads me to some guys that we should talk about. So first of all, a lot of this has to do with how much they move guys around. And I really dislike it. And I hope that they get settled early in training camp and just go with it so that those guys can become proficient at their position and also get more and more comfortable with the guys next to them.
Right.
You know, I always say, I'll give an example. I always say, and we got to move on to some defense too, but
that's okay.
I always say, you know, when you're next to a guy for the first time, you have to make the calls. Like, you have to say, like, okay, me and you are double teaming. So you say deuce so that you know it's you and I got the D tackle or the backside linebacker, right? When you play with a guy a little bit longer, you don't want to say deuce because defensive tackles, even though they're usually not the brightest bulbs, they do figure out what deuce is, right? So you don't want to say anything. So the longer you play with a guy, you don't even have to say the calls. You just you know it, and you know the guy knows it. When you play with a guy for a long time, you say dummy calls. You say the wrong calls to throw the guy off the scent. Well, guess what? You're going to play next to a guy for a while before you make dummy calls. Otherwise, you guys are going to be the dummies.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you got to play next to that guy for a while before you can start making dummy calls. But that's the reason why you keep guys at a spot and you let them work together. It's everything is in combo. Like, almost everything is you're working in concert with somebody else. So that's why I hope they keep these guys at positions. I guess one of my questions would be, for you, Greg, would be sort of similar to what we said about Jake Zembeck as it relates to Sterling Jenkins. At what point do they say to Sterling, Sterling, do you want to maybe go somewhere else and try to get some playing time?
I have to think that conversation's been had. I mean, all of these guys, either the conversation's been had or the writing cannot get much bigger on the wall. So I think the question for Sterling becomes is, has he progressed to a point where he can play at a higher level somewhere else, an FCS or a Division II? And to be honest, I don't know. I would assume so. I mean, but you make a good point about all the changes they've had, moving guys around, different coaches, this, that, and the other thing. And Rossi, I think it just makes it really difficult to you know, get a great feel for how these other guys are, even the guys that are starting, are developing.
And the thing I'll say about Jenkins, textbook example of it's not all about height and weight and measurables.
Right.
And was he a 5-star? He had a lot of stars.
High
I don't know
four.
If he was 5-star.
High
but
four,
he was
yeah.
a high 4. And everybody wanted him. 10th grade, he had offers everywhere. There's more to it than that. And honestly, I don't know Sterling, so I don't want to talk out of turn here. But the fact that with his physical abilities that he still hasn't played at all makes me wonder if he's the type of guy that does want to take the impetus to transfer and play at a lower level versus I'm on scholarship at Penn State. I'm getting a free education. I like it here. I'm not from that far away, and I'm just going to stay here.
Right.
You know, like, if he was that kind of, like, go-getter, you'd think that he'd be playing already.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network, on air, online, and on TV with Fox 43. When it comes to Penn State football, we've got you covered. Quarter number three, we're halfway through our Penn State roster breakdown. We've done all the offensive side of the ball. We good with offense, gentlemen?
I think so.
All right, let's go to defense. Let's start with the sort of what I think would be a couple easy ones to get out of the way. I'm going to start at the cornerback position. John Reed, Amani O, Tariq Castro-Fields, and Zach McPherson. That's all you need to know right there. That's four guys who I think are potential or surefire NFL prospects.
I would say potential. I don't know about surefire for Zach McPherson. I don't know that he's earned that. But I would say they have a good group.
Yeah.
And to even have guys like Donovan Johnson and DJ Brown and some of these guys behind them that are scholarship guys that they liked enough to give a full ride, and the fact that they were willing to move Lamont Wade to safety tells you that they must feel pretty good about this group.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, you don't move a guy like Lamont Wade, who I still think could show up in the cornerback role as a nickel. But I just don't think you make a move like Penn State has. Well, unless one of two things. Either you don't feel good about your safety depth and you feel really good about your corner depth, or you think that these guys can be stars at safety and you already have stars at corner. And I think a little bit of both are true in that case. I think Penn State feels fantastic about what it has at corner, but I also think that with a couple years of seasoning, they think some of these guys can be really good and that Nick Scott and Garrett Taylor, at least to start, are their best options. So they have a lot to, you know, piece together here. There's no question about that. But to me, guys, they are really just a couple of pieces away from having maybe the best secondary they've had under James Franklin.
Which is interesting because all four guys from last year went to the NFL.
And it's not to say that
I saw Grant Haley got $100,000 guaranteed.
Yeah,
by that's pretty
that's
nice.
Not bad. Yeah, the $25,000 signing bonus. I think most people could live off of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, to me, what really comes down to is that these guys are these guys are capable of really taking this group to the next step, which, again, I don't want to overstate or understate, rather, what they lose with these four guys that were drafted, but there's a pretty good group of guys they've recruited that are now in line to take the next step as well.
What have you heard about guys like DJ Brown and Donovan Johnson?
Well, Donovan Johnson is interesting because he was really highly regarded as a recruit, and he just hasn't necessarily seemed to take the next step. We'll see if he can this year. I think he's capable. DJ Brown was a guy that came in from Georgia that we didn't know a ton about as a recruit.
And both those guys, they redshirted last year. This is right. Their first year, actually.
So we'll definitely know more about what those guys are capable of, I think, after this season coming up.
And is there really, do they really have to be in a prominent role after a redshirt freshman year? You know,
no.
Penn State's built itself up now
right.
from where it was to where it's headed and where it's going that, you know what, they got four guys ahead of you. You're a redshirt freshman. That's not such a bad thing that you're getting, you know, second team and scout team reps. At right. least you're getting some reps. I really think that's more of a statement as well. Let's go to the safeties. We'll stick in the defensive backfield and finish off with the safeties. And then we'll do the rest of the defense in quarter number four. So it's obviously going to be, you know, they lost both of their starters.
Yep.
We're a third-day NFL draft pick. So let's go. We know Nick Scott is going to be a starting safety leader, team leader, cheerleader. He is sort of switching over, you know, he's becoming what, you know, Troy Apke did, switching positions yeah. and good. I think Garrett Taylor...
I think Greg said he's picking Nick Scott to lead him in tackles, right?
I did say that. Yeah, and the reason wow. is that, nice. You know, what I thought, my thought process there is really quite simple. It's just that I see him playing a lot in that Marcus Allen role. Penn State, at least at this second in time, does not have a dominating linebacker presence like it had in Jason Kabinda the last 2 years or Brandon Bell. So who next in line, if Brent Pry is going to play defense the way he did with Marcus Allen and have one of his safeties spend a lot of time in the box, Nick Scott figures to be that guy as far as I'm concerned.
Whatever happened to Patrician and Aaron Monroe?
Health. It's almost a similar situation at the tight end group where those two guys have, again, flashed some potential here and there. They just can't stay healthy, guys. For whatever reason, they just can't seem to stay healthy. And at the end of the day, when you're in a position that these guys are and there's fierce competition coming behind you every year, recruit. We heard about Michael Mennett and how he lost time because of the injuries that he had, and guys jumped over him because of that. These two guys are experiencing the same thing.
And just so people know, what happens then is it's like, okay, well, this other guy's been in here getting all the reps. The coaches have more trust in him.
Right.
And is Patrician – or Aaron Monroe good enough to leap over the guy that's been in there? And usually the case is no, they're not good enough to totally just jump the guy that was in front of them for the last 3 months.
All right, that'll do it, quarter number three. We have one more quarter. We're going to focus all on the rest of the defense on the Penn State depth chart coming up. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all you can eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.